Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots. Today, Shannon and I have a very fun and interesting episode because we're talking about Avril Lavigne. Are you excited, Shannon? How are you feeling today?
I am excited, but I'm more excited that we're here together.
Yes, this episode, guys, is in person for the second time.
Second time in history, the first time since the first episode.
Yeah, so if you guys did not know, Shannon and I have been recording virtually for the most part this entire time on Bare Roots. And today we're bringing the band back together. We're having a reunion tour. And we are officially doing this episode in person, like most normal podcasters do.
The tour is very short because it's only for this episode.
Super short, but we'll be back, you know? We'll have plans for another episode. So that's why we're doing a real fun one today, because this one is near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah, we're going back to middle school.
Honestly, I think earlier.
Like really?
Elementary, yeah.
Elementary school? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was elementary school. As you know, from the title, we are talking about Avril Lavigne, little Shannon Haley's favorite star.
Absolute favorite. Should we tell them the story of the CD?
Yeah.
Okay. So we went to the mall together. I feel like this was one of our first outings in general.
Yeah.
And you really wanted the CD. So we went to the mall, we got the CD, and then I remember it was my genius idea because your mom's car was new enough and it had a CD player because my mom's car had a cassette player. And I was like, wait, Shannon, does your mom has a CD player in your car? Of course, you said yes. I'm like, we need to listen to the CD as soon as we get into the car on our way home from the mall. And now I kind of wonder if your mom, I mean, Avril Lavigne's great, so I don't feel like it's not like a bad album to listen to, but I wonder if she was like, damn it, Alina.
She's too smart for her own good.
I know. Oh my gosh. If she's listening, Mrs. Haley, please let me know. Like, I'm very curious. Do you remember that moment? I don't know if that would stick out to you. But thank you for letting us listen to the Avril Lavigne CD. We appreciate you.
I remember having that CD with my little jog-proof CD player, and I thought I was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Those were the days. No audio streaming, just CDs.
Yeah, you had to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We sound old.
Well, I don't know if you know that Avril Lavigne has a conspiracy around her, but she does. And we're going to get into it today. So we're going to start off with Avril Lavigne's life on the record. So Avril Lavigne was born September 27th, 1984 in Ontario, Canada. She is one of our Canadian stars, not unlike Justin Bieber.
I was going to say, you know, there's a decent amount of Canadians out there that are A-list celebrity type people.
She was raised by deeply religious parents, and she first started performing in church choirs, which is also a very common way to start. And she learned how to play the guitar, began composing her own music as a teenager. And at first, she supposedly focused on country music, but then she changed her tune. And she went to New York City and then LA to work with Arista Records.
Imagine Avril Lavigne being a country singer.
Insane.
Absolutely insane.
Completely different vibe. And in 2002, Lavigne released her first album, Let Go, which was the album that I bought.
Yep, yep.
And she scored number one hit with the single Complicated. And we all know the song.
We all know the song. We'll spare your ears and we will not sing it, but
we all know it. We all love it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, on this album, there were also the hits of Skater Boy and I'm With You.
Oh, such a good one.
So she was also in addition to her music, she also was a style icon. You know, she had those baggy pants, grunge, the chains.
And I think it's really important, even though I feel like our listeners probably remember this, but we'll just make a note of it. This is during the time of Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Jessica Simpson, very blonde, pop, bubbly, all American girls, you know, again, just poppy type music, but she was different. She was like punk.
She was edgy.
She was so edgy, but she was able to hang out with these girls in terms of popularity.
That's right. So in 2004, she released Under My Skin, which did not do as well as her first album, but she did have one top 10 track, My Happy Ending, which just saying the words gets the song stuck in my head.
Oh my God, it's going for me.
And in 2006, she married a fellow musician by the name of Derek Whibley. He was also a Canadian pop punk artist from the band Sum 41. She released The Best Damn Thing in 2007, which landed a top 10 hit. She landed a top 10 hit with The Infectious, quote unquote, girlfriend. I feel like, was that the last song I really remember?
Like from that era? Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
Unfortunately, after 3 years of marriage, Levine and her husband split in 2009, and then she started dating Brody Jenner for a time.
Yeah, I remember that, and I just thought...
Sorry if you're hearing any little pitter-patter, because we have a dog running around.
I remember hearing about the two, and I thought it was such a weird pairing. Did not think Brody Jenner, you know, son of Caitlyn Jenner, step-siblings with the Kardashian, would be dating Avril Lavigne. I honestly, this is what I want to know. I want to know how they met. How did they meet? That's what I want to know. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, they were probably just invited to similar parties, question mark?
Yeah. How did that happen? How did the Canadian meet this Malibu boy?
I don't know, but I don't think it lasted for long. She also created her own clothing line called Abby Dawn, using the childhood nickname given to her by her father. And in 2010, she established the Avril Lavigne Foundation, which aims to help young people with disabilities and serious illnesses. And she said, quote, "I've always looked for ways to give back because I think it's a responsibility we all share," end quote. In 2012, she became engaged to another musician, Chad Kroeger, and he was actually the front man for the rock band that we all know, Nickelback.
Wow, Nickelback, everyone.
They had only been dating for 6 months before they got engaged, which, you know.
Risky.
Yeah, and they separated 2 years later. But they did collaborate on her next album, which she released, and it was her fifth one, and so that's nice, but I mean, we don't really know that album, so I guess it didn't
didn't really take off,
didn't go that well. Actually, in recent years, she has struggled with her health. She revealed in April of 2015 that she'd been suffering from Lyme disease. Throw back to the Lyme disease episode.
Yeah, we have an episode on it, people. So if you did not know, Lyme disease and the whole tick environment, I don't even know what to say, is very controversial. Well, I shouldn't say controversial. There is a conspiracy theory behind it. So be sure to give that a listen. So we're coming full circle, everyone.
Full circle. And it really affected her a lot. And she said that she was bedridden for 5 months. And she felt that she couldn't breathe and she couldn't talk and she couldn't move. And she thought she was dying. And then to bring back Justin Bieber, he recently, as of January of 2020, Justin Bieber announced that he had Lyme disease. And Avril reached out to him just to offer her support because she had already been through it.
That's so nice of her. Honestly, a very caring celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, you know, cool. One Canadian to another. You know?
Yeah, exactly. We couldn't ask for anything else. But before we begin talking about Avril Lavigne and the conspiracy theories that people are chattering about, let's first hear from our sponsor. And we're back. So let's dive into the conspiracy theories if you haven't already heard about it on Avril Lavigne. It's a strange one. So we have to, you know, kind of keep an open mind. But there's kind of a lot of details that people have, and it's almost actually, now that I think about it, it's slight like Mandela effect, just like a lot of people starting to believe in these things, believing in these rumors, and then it became what it is today, and now we're reporting on it. So essentially the theory is actually a replacement conspiracy theory, like think doppelganger, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There was an urban legend stating that that Avril Lavigne had died in 2003. So this was shortly after the release of her debut album, Let Go, and was replaced by a body double named Melissa Vandella. Now, body doubles are very common in Hollywood. Of course, you have them in movies, TV shows, and I'm sure in like music videos. I wonder if people use them for paparazzi, like body doubles. So it's not a thing in Hollywood, but let's really dive into how this kind of all blew up. So there's evidence used to support this theory that includes changes in Avril Lavigne's appearance between 2003 and present day. So people are looking back at old photos and they're saying, look at her moles and other blemishes, her jawline, the corners of her eyes, all these things have changed or like slightly look tweaked. And I mean, you know, one may argue, could it be makeup? Could it be plastic surgery? Could it be the fact that she is getting older? Mm-hmm. So it's not a strong evidence, but people say like this could be the evidence to prove that it's her body double. Also, people talked about her demeanor and her voice changing to a more girly and softer approach when talking than her punkier vibe that she was introduced to the eyes of America. So, you know, again, I could understand that, but maybe deep down she was always, you know, this sweet, more soft girl, but she had an image to uphold. Yeah. And again, she's fighting those stereotypes of those blonde girls like Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera by being girly, like she was the edgy one.
Right.
And then there's another evidence saying that there was some subliminal messaging in her follow-up album. So after Let Go, Under My Skin in 2004, and to just kind of remember like that album, it was My Happy Ending and Together. So it's like, interesting. Subliminal messaging in her album. She used to cry not even for help, but just like, I'm no longer here. Because if the theory says 2003, she died, and then the album came out in 2004, could it be the body double?
Right.
And then another evidence to say that Melissa was her body double was that apparently in a photo shoot, Avril Lavigne had the name Melissa written on her hand. So was she identifying herself as who she was, which was Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Avril, but then this photo shoot caught the truth? So the origins of the theory can actually be traced back to the 2011 Brazilian blog called Avril Está Morta, which basically means in Spanish, Avril is dead, which led to conversations in the internet forums talking about this evidence that we just mentioned about Avril's replacement. So the theory gained more traction in May of 2017 when a Twitter user posted a thread recounting the theory. Since then, Avril has denied the theory on multiple occasions. So even though these theories have been traced back in 2011 on Twitter, some sources have said that the rumor dates as far back as 2005. So the theory began to gain traction in the US in October of 2015 when a BuzzFeed reporter, his name was Ryan Boderick, tweeted about Avril Está Morta. So he was talking about this blog that he had stumbled upon. And in this BuzzFeed post, Roderick cleared up his tweet on the matter, mentioning that the opening line of the original blog post admits that the theory is a hoax and that, quote, this blog was created to show how conspiracy theories can look true. And I mean, guys, it's 2015, BuzzFeed, it's at the top of its game. Not that it's not anymore, but it's as every, I swear, video, every blog, it's going viral. So the fact that this person decided to talk about this theory just proves its popularity and how it was able to just catch on fire, essentially. The theory alleges that the pressures of fame combined with the death of Avril Lavigne's grandfather, who she was really close with, and you can see videos of her performing, and she's saying, like, you know, this song goes out to my grandfather, he just passed away. And you can see that she's very, very upset. So this sent her into a deep depression after the release of her 2002 album, Let Go, right? And then in this theory, the singer died by suicide shortly after because she was just so sad. So it's kind of like, if you think about the first theory, it was more of like body double kind of thing. This one goes into a little bit like why she might have needed a body double, because of she was just so sad.
Right. This is the reasoning to the replacement.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So allegedly, Melissa was originally hired as a lookalike to distract paparazzi, protecting a very reclusive Avril Lavigne, very private, which now that I think about it, she did have a real private, you know, personal life. So Avril Lavigne befriended Melissa. So, you know, Melissa is apparently this real person. And shortly before the singer's supposed death, her body double was taught how to sing and perform like a musician. So when Avril Lavigne supposedly died, her record company buried the news and replaced her with Melissa Vandella for a continued profit. And Melissa recorded all of Avril Lavigne's future work. So it's, if you buy into this theory, it's as if the record company is like, oh my gosh, we have Let Go, such an amazing debut album. She's getting crazy attraction. And now she's died. We can't let the public know. We need to keep this going. So this conspiracy theory, again, really gained traction on the internet, where self-proclaimed Avril Rangers shared evidence. And one post said in 2012, suggested that the original Avril might actually be alive, using a picture of what appeared to be the singer buying cheese at a time when, quote, new Avril was supposed to be battling Lyme disease. So it's like the original Avril and the new Avril are just fighting on what's happening in their life. And the storyline is not adding up. The timeline is getting messed up. So the death hoax saw increased prevalence in May of 2017, as we mentioned earlier, when a high school student posted a Twitter thread, you know, saying that she had died and been replaced. And just what's interesting about this whole thing, as we like wrap up this theory, is that the thread was retweeted 250,000 times. So this just goes to show, between this Twitter thread, BuzzFeed, this is how people started talking about Avril Lavigne in this way.
I'd be feeling pretty good if I was the high school student that tweeted that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's the theory. Is she dead? Is this all a stunt double?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Avril has had responses. So the first time she addressed the rumors was in 2017. And she had a live stream Q&A on Facebook. And a fan asked her if she was dead. Which Lavigne responded with, "No, I'm not dead. I'm here."
How uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And she went on to say that the theory was created because people were just bored and needed something to talk about. And she had an interview on an Australian radio show, and they asked about the theory, and she responded with, quote, "Some people think that I'm not the real me," which is so weird. Like, why would they even think that? And they did want to point out that she never actually flat out denied it. And apparently there were some technological difficulties during the interview, which were a suspicious coincidence. But in 2019, with an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Lavigne addressed the theory directly, calling it a, quote, "dumb internet rumor," and saying that she was flabbergasted that people bought into it. So that's where...
But she never said it. She didn't.
It's true.
I don't know why someone in her PR team didn't tell her, like, you need to say no. Well, I guess, you know what? She did say, "No, I'm not dead," in that live stream Q&A.
Right.
So, yeah. So where's your tinfoil hat on this theory?
It's on the shelf. I'm not in the room. Door's shut. All of the, quote, evidence that they've brought up, it could just be explained through time and makeup and work done.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. My temporal has an exact same position. It's just, there's this evidence that they claim is just not enough for me. And I do believe when Avril Lavigne talks or whatever, goes on her interviews, has done all her new music, that is the real her. And I think we would make a bigger deal out of it if she really did die. Like, I think her friends and family would make a statement and whatnot. It wouldn't be a thing for the record company just to make money off of her.
Yeah. I mean, she was really popular, but was she popular enough to do a whole hoax that, or a whole switch that a lot of people would have to be kept quiet about? I don't think so.
I agree. I completely agree.
Well, there you have it.
That's the episode on Avril Lavigne. We hope you guys enjoyed this little fun topic. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at BareRootsPod, B-A-R-E, Roots Pod. And we'll see you next week with another interesting, spooky, controversial episode. I have no idea. I just wanted to leave people on a cliffhanger. Like, ooh.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Tippy tappies. I feel like she's about to be here.
Daisy. Your mummies are working.